I always like to sometimes, before I get into the message, see if you can figure out, as we're getting in through this series, what our key may be today. Taking a hint from some of the music and the singing, the hymns, I always try to pick hymns that kind of go along with the theme. Can anybody kind of have an idea or guess what our theme? I see a hand back there. Is it Sally? Love? Okay, good guess. We'll see if Sally's right. She thinks love. And love, you think Sally would open the door? No? No, she don't think so. Okay, we'll see. Today we come to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 as we return to our series, continue our series through this book. Chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, we'll be reading through verse 12. Let's hear the word of the Lord together. Solomon, continuing to write, continuing to teach us on how to find meaning and purpose, reflecting so far on everything that he has taught us to this point, begins this chapter by saying, "So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands, but no man knows whether love or hate awaits him. All share a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good man, so it is with the sinner. As it is with those who take oaths, as it is with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of men, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live. And afterward, they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will all die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with joyful heart, for it is now that God favors what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all of your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For the grave where you are going, there's neither working nor planning nor knowledge or wisdom. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them." Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us. And Lord, as we look again into this book of Ecclesiastes, as we look at your word this morning, I pray that you would take it into our heart, open our heart that we hear from you this morning, that from your word we would hear the teaching and the instruction that you intend for us to receive, that from your word we may be properly prepared for what lies ahead of us as we live each day for you. And Father, we give you glory and honor through Christ, your Son, in whom we pray. Amen. Today I have another key to try, as we've tried so many to open these doors, and it still remains locked as we've been trying to discover this life of meaning and purpose. After reading the scripture today, any idea what Solomon is going to talk about today. We will see. But I have a key today labeled abundance. At the beginning of our service, I had a scripture on the wall that Jesus said that I have come to give us life, and to give us life in abundance, or abundant living. And part of what Jesus wants us to experience in our life is abundant living and abundant life now. But even a life full of abundance and abundant living, is that the key to a meaningful life? Will that still open the door? Delma says no. No way. How many of you think it will? Nobody. You're all catching on to me. Plus, you all know we're in chapter 9. And we're not till the end of the book yet. But we will try it anyway and see. Put it in there. No, abundance and abundant living, as good as it is, still does not open the door to a meaningful life. The life that God intends for us. Someday, I promise you, we will get in there. And we'll see how we can get that abundant life, that meaningful life experience. But we're getting kind of glimpses of it. But Solomon's been teaching us. We get to chapter 9. And he said, I'm reflecting on everything to this point, and everything that he's already told us about a life and how to discover meaning and activity, stuff, pleasure, wisdom, work, time, joy, justice, politics, competition, religion, money, joy, prosperity, and right living. Everything that he's already reflected on. And he said, as I ponder that and reflect on that, he came to a conclusion about something. And that's what he wants us to know about today, how to live like we're dying. Because in our scripture this morning, Solomon teaches us about a subject that none of us here, I guarantee you, like to talk about. It's a subject that we try to avoid, we don't want to face, but yet all of us will at some point in our life. It's a subject that we tried to soften its blow and make it not sound so harsh. And we try to do everything we can to avoid it. It makes us so uncomfortable, this subject that Solomon is going to deal with in chapter 9. It makes us so uncomfortable that we don't even like to say the word. Anybody figure it out yet? In fact, there's a lot of other phrases we use in our speech to try to soften the severity of it and not have to say the word itself. So we come up with things like passed away or gone to a better place. All try to soften that word because we don't want to say it, nor do we want to face it. But in this passage this morning, Solomon doesn't mince any words. And he deals with this subject right on in our life. And he doesn't mince any words or sugarcoat things. And he covers it the way it is. And he's talking about that subject of death. A subject we don't want to talk about, but yet we all face, don't we? It's a subject that we all face sometime in our life. And in this chapter, Saul deals with the reality of death and teaches us how we should live as a result of it. And how to live like we are dying. Now, Tim McGraw has a song out, a country song, that came out years ago called Live Like You Were Dying. Anybody ever know that, heard that song? And it talks about how, if you know you're going to die, how would you live differently? And he talks about, oh, I would grow a Fu Manchu. I would ride a bull for 8 seconds. I would go skydiving. If I knew I was going to be dying soon, there's a lot of things in life that I want to do and enjoy before the end. And we were with Gene and Karen one time, and Gene knew Tim's dad, Tug McGraw, played with him. And we were with Gene and Karen one time down at their place at the beach, and a Tim McGraw song came on, and Kim started singing that song and singing along with them. And Gene Garber said, nobody sings Tim McGraw like Tim McGraw. Remember that, Gene? And Kim got quiet after that.
So now every time we hear a Tim McGraw song, we think of that statement. But Tim McGraw made a song about live like you were dying. How would you live differently if you knew that this was your last day on earth? Hopefully no different than you're living now. Because if we're following Christ and living as he wants us to, hopefully our life wouldn't change. We'd be continuing to do exactly what we are doing in our life now. But because death will touch all of our lives, I can remember the first time that death impacted me. And think back in your life when the first time that you remember death touching you of somebody that was close to you in your family. And we all have had it in our life, I'm sure. We've all been affected by it. But I remember the first time that death came close to me was when I was 5. And I can remember when my grandmother died. I was just, basically all I can remember was going to the graveside service and the final graveside service, standing around the grave at 5. Then I remember shortly after that, and the Vietnam War was going on, and one of the guys in our church was killed in battle. And his name was Dale Eisenman. And I remember going to the funeral home and seeing his coffin there at the age of 5 and not fully understanding what was going on and seeing all the weeping and not really understanding and grasping the full gravity of what was happening. But we all have been touched by it, and we all will, as it affects our loved ones and family. And as Solomon reminds us, will even affect us someday. And because death will touch and does touch our lives, Solomon says there's two truths that we need to keep in mind in our life as we seek to remember to live as though we are dying. And the reality of that. The first truth is this, that we need to live each day for him because death is certain. And Solomon reminds us of that, that death is a certain reality. We don't like to talk about it, but it is. And because of that, we need to live each day for him and make the most of each day that we have. Because that's honoring to him, and that's how we can live life to the fullest. In verse 1, he said, I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands, but no one knows whether love or hate awaits him. What's he saying there? What Solomon is saying is, well, we don't know what a day is going to bring forth. When we get up in the morning, we don't know what we're going to face and what this day ahead of us is going to bring. And he said, I concluded that our life is in his hands. And that we don't know whether love or hate's going to come. What he means by that is love refers to favor. Hate refers to disfavor. And he said, life is going to have both. And there's going to be times in our life that we're going to go through good times and bad. And we don't know what a day's going to bring, do we? And life is uncertain that way. We can make preparations and plan, but we don't know what a day is going to bring. And so because of that, he says, live each day to the fullest. And enjoy life because we need to trust him because our life is in his hands. God is sovereign. And the children of God are in the hands of God. Do you believe that? And all that comes in our life is from him. Whether good or bad, and whatever he brings into our life, whether good or bad, we need to welcome it and trust him in it because God is sovereign. And every day that we have is a gift from him to enjoy. Every day that we have is a gift to thank him for. And Solomon says, remember that our life is in his hands, and we don't know what a day is going to bring, whether good or bad. So live it for him to the fullest and realize that we need to live with eternity in mind because we'll see that life is short. We don't know what a day will bring, but he also reminds us that death is a reality that we will all face. We don't like to talk about it, but it's true. And we've all been touched by it. We all have been faced it within our family members, within loved ones, that it's touched our life. He says in verse 3, in verse 2, he says, all share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices, those who do not. Solomon said, it doesn't really matter whether a person is godly or not, whether they go to church or whether they don't, whether they're rich or whether they're poor.
death affects all of us. We all share that common destiny. And the destiny he's talking about here is the grave. He's not talking about heaven or hell. He's talking about the destiny of the grave. And he said that death is going to come and touch all mankind. Why? Because look what he says in verse 3. Because this is the evil and happened under the sun. And Solomon calls death an evil because that's really what it is. It wasn't God's intent. When God created us and placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he gave them there, the tree of eternal life was there, and they were free to eat of that tree as often as they wanted to. But remember, he said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will, remember, you will surely die. And it wasn't God's intent. God's intent was that we have eternal life with him, that we live forever in his presence and fellowship with him. And that's what he designed. But sin came in and broke that. And because of that, death has come to all mankind. And so Solomon says it's a great evil that's been done. It's not what God intends, but yet it touches all of us. And we can't escape it. He said we can't escape death no matter what we do, because eventually it's going to catch up to us. The only way that we can escape death, friends, is to put our faith and trust in the one who was conquered to death in the grave, and that's Jesus Christ. The one who's the resurrection and the life, and the one who rose again and said that I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, even though he die, yet shall he live. Or, better yet, wouldn't it be great to be alive the day of the rapture? When Jesus comes and we're caught up to heaven without having to experience death at all, wouldn't that be great? That's what I hope would happen to us. But if it doesn't, then he's saying that we're all going to die someday and be confronted with that reality. And why does it seem like, but Dan, this is a downer. Why are you putting this downer on me? Well, because it's the truth of God's word. And hang in with me because it does get better. The second point of this message does get better. But Solomon starts with the bad news and the reality to remind us that death is a reality that we'll face, so we can live in face of that and live like we're dying with eternity in view so that we're properly prepared to meet our Lord. The only way to escape him is to put our faith in him. And Solomon says that we really can't begin to live until we realize we're going to die. And so that's why he reminds us of this. He said, until we realize that death is going to come, we can't really experience the life that God intends. We can't really experience and receive the eternal life of Jesus if we don't realize that we need him. And that without Christ, things are hopeless. Which brings us to the third part of this. Is that while we are living, we still have hope and an opportunity to change. That as long as we have life, we have hope. Notice what he says in verse 4. He said, anyone who is among the living has hope. And even a dead dog, even a live dog, is better than a dead lion. And Katie, I love this verse. This is a good verse. You know why, Katie? Because this verse is biblical proof that dogs are better than cats. It says a live dog is better than a dead lion. See, dogs are better than cats. Even the Lord agrees with me. Right, Katie? I agree. We got an amen on that. Actually, what did Solomon mean by that statement? What he meant by that statement, we make joke of it, but what he was saying was, in Bible times, dogs were not considered pets. Dogs were considered vagabonds, dirty. They would go and they would feed off a carrion of decaying things. And you definitely didn't have a dog in your house. Dogs were considered disgusting, dirty animals. And when Kim and I went to Uganda, we discovered that. We found out that dogs were roaming all over the place and they didn't have them as pets. And you wouldn't dare think of having a dog as a pet. I mean, it was a disgusting, dirty animal. You didn't want a dog. A lion, on the other hand, in Bible times, was considered regal. and royal and majestic and king and the best kind of animal. I mean, what we think of as a lion. But Solomon said, you know, in reality, he said, in the end, a dog that is alive, as disgusting as it may be, is better off than a lion that is dead. Why? Because the dog's still alive and has hope. And the point he was making is that as long as we are alive, we still have hope and the opportunity to change and the opportunity to improve our life and to live in a way that glorifies him. Because once death comes, he said, that's it. There's no more opportunity. There's no more chance to change our life. There's no more chance to change things that we wished we would have done differently. And while we're still living, we have the opportunity, he says, to look back on our life and learn from those mistakes. And what would we do differently now while we still have the opportunity to change? If you knew that this was your last day on earth, what would you do differently? Would you change anything? Solomon says we have that opportunity right now. And he said that's the hope we have among the living, that even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. We have that opportunity. So look, so God's given us every day to use to the fullest for him. So he says, live each day. Live each day through him because death is certain. But here's where it gets good. The second part of this chapter is to enjoy each day through him because time is short. As we live as though we're dying, he says, we need to enjoy each day that we have on the trip because we don't know when it will be. We don't know when God will call us home. That's in his hands. And our life's in his hands, and he's the giver and taker of life. But until that time, he wants us to enjoy each day an abundant living to the fullest for him. The content of these verses in verses 7 to 12 are sort of the same issues that he talked about before that we've already discussed. But the difference here is that he places it on an imperative. And he said, due to the reality of the fact that death is a reality, there's a certain imperative, he says, that he wants us to take in mind and to keep in mind. And there's five imperatives that he uses here. And look at these verses, and I'm going to highlight them for you. You might want to underline them or circle them. And these are the imperatives he mentions. Go, eat, drink, enjoy, and do. And those are all imperative commands, saying that because of the fact that death is a reality, he wants us to enjoy life. Make the most of it. Live like we're dying. Live life to the fullest. Because life is uncertain. So we need to enjoy it while we can. That's what he's telling us. Enjoy it while we can. Live it to the fullest. And he gives us four ways on how we can enjoy every day that God's given us. And how he wants us to enjoy life that we have. As we're knowing that heaven is our home, if you know Christ, and knowing that heaven is your home, he wants us to enjoy the trip till we get there. Yes, there may be hardships that come in our way. There may be difficult times, good and bad, as we've seen. But yet he wants us to enjoy the trip and live it out. And there's four ways that he tells us to do it. First is to have fun. Just to have fun in life. Enjoy the good things that he's given you. Notice what he says in verse 7 and 8. He says, go eat with food. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart. For it is now that God favors what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. He's saying there, have fun. Enjoy yourself. Live life to the fullest. He says to eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart. In other words, he's saying, go out, have a good meal. Have you ever heard stories of people that they're so concerned about their living and having enough money and they work all their life when they retire and they work all their life to have money to live on. But they have plenty of money to live on, but they just are afraid to spend it. And afraid to enjoy what they have because they're afraid, what if I need it? You know, and Solomon says, don't live life that way. He said, enjoy what you have. If God's blessed you and God's given you good things, enjoy it. Use it, because we can't take it with us, can we? So he said, we might as well use it now. God's given it to us to use now. So he says, go out and enjoy it. If you enjoy going out to eat, go out and eat. And don't feel bad about it. I love to go out to eat. Do you? He says, go and do it. Enjoy yourself. Have a good time. Because life is short. So enjoy every day that he's given. Enjoy those times at the beach. Right, Gene? Sandy? Go down there and enjoy life. Because that's what he wants. In other words, he says, lighten up. Don't take life so serious. Have fun. In the good sense of the word. Now, when I grew up, and I was taught a brand of Christianity that maybe some of you were, and growing up in a pastor's home made it more intense, maybe, than some of you would have experienced. But I was brought up on the brand of Christianity where you didn't play cards, you didn't go to movies, you didn't dance, you didn't wear shorts, and you didn't have fun. Yeah. Well, I added that one. But if you had fun, or if you smiled, or all of that, you know, you didn't dare do that. I mean, that's inappropriate. You can't, I mean, that's not how godly people live. You just don't do that. And my dad used to call cards devil's cards, you know, and he said, you couldn't dare have them in the house. I mean, and I was taught that way. And Kim grew up a totally different way. And she had to teach me, and I had to learn, God wants us to lighten up sometimes, you know, and enjoy life. And if it's of God, he says, enjoy the good gifts, enjoy it. Don't be so, and I still struggle with that at times. It's hard sometimes to lighten up when you've been raised that way and to get that completely out of your system. But yet he's saying, life's too short. He said, God, in verse 7, he says, this is now how God favors what you do. Go eat your food with gladness. Drink your wine with a cheerful heart. Enjoy life. Live it to the fullest. If it's from God, if it's a good gift he's blessed you with, then use it. Lighten up. And he also says to brighten up. To brighten up. Verse 8. He says, put on, always be dressed in white, and anoint your head, always anoint your head with oil. What did Solomon mean by that? Well, he was talking about the clothes that they wore in the Middle East. And when people were in mourning, and that's still customary today, when we're mourning, we usually wear the color black. Right. And Solomon says, don't dress yourself in black, put on white. And white is the clothes of celebration. It's a clothes that you would wear to a party or a wedding or something you're going to celebrate. And he says, be dressed in white and put oil on your head, meaning put perfume on yourself and dress up and have a good time and brighten up. He said, don't be so somber. Don't go through life so, and it's easy when we see what's going on in the world around us to get in that somber mood, isn't it? And Solomon says, brighten up. Wear celebration clothes. And realize that every day is truly a gift from God. Live it to the fullest for him. That's how he wants us to go and enjoy this journey. So have fun. Live life for him. Then he also tells us another way, because life is certain, how to enjoy it is to live a holy life. Going back to verse 8, he says, always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. That has a double meaning. Not only the words of clothes of celebration, but that being dressed in white refers to the robes of Christ's righteousness. And being dressed in the righteousness of Christ and letting his righteousness cover over our sin. And knowing that when we are clothed in him, we stand before him holy. And the anointing of our head with oil is a picture again of the Holy Spirit. And of living under the anointing of his Spirit, when his Spirit is in control of us and when his Spirit is flowing through us. So living a holy life doesn't mean not playing cards or not going to a movie or this or that. It's being dressed in the righteousness of Christ and having the anointing of his Holy Spirit directing us and guiding us. And when we're living under his anointing, covering our head, then we're blessed. And he said, this is what God favors us to do. So have fun, live a holy life. He also says to love your family. He says in verse 9, he says, enjoy life with your wife who you have all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. He said, enjoy your family while you have time. Because every day God gives us what the family is a treasure, because those of us that have lost family members realize when they're gone, you know, that's a part of our life that we no longer have. I lost both of my parents, and there's times I remember, I mean, and things that have gone through now, and especially when it first happened, my dad's been gone 10 years, and my mother 3 now, and things have happened since my mother's been gone, and I used to, every Saturday, Sunday night, I would pick up the phone and call her, and I wanted to, at first, pick up the phone and call her and said, Mom, I'm going to tell you about this, and realized, you know, she's not here anymore. So Solomon says, enjoy life with your wife, enjoy your family, the times that you have right now, enjoy those, because we're not guaranteed of those times forever. Those of you who lost loved ones, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And so he says, enjoy that time now that you have together, because we're not always guaranteed we're going to have it, because we don't know. So love your family. That's the most precious thing we can do right now, is to invest in them while we have them. And he also says to work hard. In verse 10, he says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge or wisdom. He said, work hard. Now is the time when we can serve God. Now is the time when we can do things for him. Because when we get to the grave, there is no chance after that. And what Solomon is saying here when he says, in the grave where you are going, there's neither working nor planning nor knowledge or wisdom, he's not talking about in heaven that we won't know anything, or in heaven that there won't be working for the Lord or serving him. He's not talking about heaven or hell. He's talking about the grave in general. He said that after a person dies, there's no longer a chance. So this is the only chance we've got in life, to serve the Lord and to lay up treasures in heaven before us, because once we die, that opportunity is gone. So he says, work hard now. Make the most of every day you've got for me and use it for his glory. So life is uncertain, so enjoy it while you can. But death comes unexpectedly, so prepare while there's still time. He ends these verses in verse 12 by saying, moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. He said, as fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times which fall unexpectedly upon them. And Solomon said, our life is like we're fishing, like we're a fish swimming in the sea. And he said, we're swimming in the sea or the stream of life, just minding our own business from day to day, just swimming through the stream, and all of a sudden, boom, this net comes and catches us and pulls us away. Or it could be, on the other line of that, it could be Gary Gardner with this fishing pole, and fish is just swimming along the line, sees that bait, grabs a hold, and gets its last meal. Unexpectedly, things happen and changes. And Solomon said, that's how life is. And because of that, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for that day, because we don't know. He said, we don't know when that's going to happen to any of us. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it. But yet Solomon is addressing it. God's word is addressing it. And so, are we prepared? Are you prepared? Should death come to you today? Should this be your last day that we have life on earth? Are you prepared to meet Jesus? Are you prepared to go home with him? If that net would swoop down and catch a hold of you and lift you away, would you know that to close our eyes here isn't open up in the presence of Jesus? And that's our hope we have, right? And that's what we celebrate. So if you don't have that blessed assurance, this morning, I encourage you, make sure, because this is the time we have. The live dog is better than the dead lion. Now's the opportunity that we have to prepare for what lies ahead of us. So live as though we are dying, Solomon says, because we are. Because we can't escape it. He said it's a common destiny we're all going to face, no matter who we are, unless the Lord comes first. So live each day for him, because death is certain. And enjoy each day through him, because time is short. And we don't know what a day may bring. Let's pray. Father, we come before this morning, and this word of your word to us is heavy on our hearts, but we thank you that your word prepares us for all things. And you don't want us to be unprepared for that day whenever death comes to us. We know that our lives are in your hands and everything is in our hands. You are the giver and taker of life. And good and bad, it all comes from you. And it wasn't your intent for death to come into this world, but because of sin and because of Adam and Eve's rebellion, all have died. But you have come to bring life to all who believe in you. That we can escape the sting of death by you, the one who has destroyed death and the grave. And because you live, we know that we will live also. And we thank you for that hope and that confidence. Lord, help us to live each day in light of that reality that our time on earth is limited. So we need to make the most of every day that we have. To enjoy life for the fullest, to enjoy the good things you've given us, to be thankful for them, to love our family, to invest in them, to live a life, Lord, covered by your righteousness under the anointing of your Spirit, and to work hard and to serve you with what time we have while we have the opportunity to work, because the night is coming when man will work no more. So, Father, help us to live as though we're dying, because we are. And if there's somebody here, Lord, who does not have that assurance, that should this be our last day, that they're not ready to meet you, that they would not leave this place, Lord, until they make that settled, until they give that assurance of life through you. For those of us that do, Lord, we rejoice in the promise of life, that we have abundant life, not only in the future, but abundant life now. And to enjoy and to live each day for the fullest for you until the day you call us home. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.